Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. In his message titled Darkness and Desire, Reverend David Williams explains to us that we are told by others who our enemies are. We respond by letting our anger grow towards our labeled enemies, and very often the anger consumes us. This moves us away from the life and actions that our Lord asks of us. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. As we move through life in this modern world, so much of what we encounter seems designed to stir in us anger and anxiety and frustration. We step out, when we go out into the world, into a place where fear is used to manipulate us, where we are told, here is an enemy, here is a person we are meant to despise, and that affects us. It affects the way we view the world around us, seeing it as a place filled with danger, filled with fear, filled with people who we must hate. And that can make us anxious. And that we can internalize until that same anger becomes the thing that defines us. When we let that happen, we find ourselves pulled away from the grace that God intended for all of us. And we lose our ability to proclaim the gospel as good news. This affects all of us. And right now, here in this place, as we come before God in worship, let's admit it. Let's admit it by praying together the prayer of confession. Please join with me in praying it. Gracious and almighty God, our journey through life is not always an easy thing. We slog through things that can wear us down day after day. Unexpected impacts can suddenly shatter and break us. In response, we become brittle and angry, or cynical and apathetic, or resigned and empty. None of those responses are drawn from the strength that you offer us. None of these responses draw us towards your healing and joy. Forgive us, gracious one, for not opening ourselves in faith to your Spirit. In Christ's name, please forgive us. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of Christ's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn?
Only Christ,
who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for this morning is drawn from Paul's letter to the church at Rome. I'll be reading from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. That's Romans 13, 8 through 14. Let's now listen a third time for God's holy word. Paul writes, "Owe no one anything, except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself." Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably, as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and the minds of each and every one gathered here be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to be peaceful. I want to feel that sense of overflowing peace and grace in my soul. I do. And I do feel the grace of the gospel, which is a good thing given my choice of vocation. I see, I really do, I conceptually grasp the point and purpose of a life filled with love, and I see the whole reason behind a life lived gently and gracefully and mercifully, and having those things as the defining principle of everything we do. But I have this tendency to want to be informed about the world. I want to be aware of what's going on. I am a news junkie, and I always have been. And that hasn't been helping my grace much lately. See, in my family, you needed to be informed and aware. This was a mantra. News mattered. It mattered if you were going to be an informed person. It matters if you were going to be a good citizen. And of course I believe that because my dad was a journalist, you know. You better think that, son. You needed to know what was going on in the world. And so it became a habit. We always got the paper back in the days when people got the paper. I still do. Quick show of hands, who gets a newspaper? All right, we're at a slightly higher percentage than I would have thought, but it's a lot less than it used to be. I used to and still do read it in physical dead tree format every day. Get those dead trees showing up. And then I used to watch the news, broadcast news, every single day. Who does that? Broadcast news, not... Yeah. Oof. Tough time for broadcasters. That was just what people used to do. How many people get news off of the interwebs? Get your news on the internet. Evidently, I'm one of the fewer junkies here. I got news on the internet back before there was an internet. My dad being a journalist, when we lived in England, there was something called CFAX, which the British Broadcasting Corporation did. This was a proto-internet broadcast directly to your television. You would sort through different menus and you could select different text articles which were digitized and sent out via broadcast so people could read news instantly in 1980. 1980 they were doing. And I used to sit there and flip through that, and they even had occasional games which looked like Pong, only worse. You know, this was BBC. I read and engage with news, and that has been rough these last couple of weeks, wearing on my soul. I think in particularly the news about ISIS and the news coming out of the rubble that is Iraq. I just have a lot of difficulty being in a place of peaceful, non-anxious grace when it comes to that. And it isn't just the murdering of prisoners and treating captive women like cattle to be sold and the general slaughter and collapse of decades of effort in Iraq. It's that I'm the son of a journalist. And watching journalists who've been waterboarded into submission killed is hard for me, for some reason. Twice in the last few weeks that has been there. And I have the same visceral response when those images appear on CNN or on the cover of the paper that I'm looking at, on the news that I'm watching. I do not have a gracious response. I do not have a response that is discernibly Christian. I recoil at the horror of it, as I think any human being should. But then I'm just unmanageably angry for a little while. And a large part of that is because I have had family in the hands of angry, armed men. Some of my dad's favorite stories, which at some point you will hear, involve his time in Iran during the revolution in the 70s, where he and other journalists were herded around at the points of rifles and didn't know what was going to happen to them. I see those journalists with their lives about to be taken, and I recoil in the same way you would if you were looking at your dad, or your child, or a friend. And those moments are one of the many, 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 many moments when I'm glad that God is God and I am not, because I would do really bad, messy, terrible things to a lot of people were I not conveniently limited to this little lump of flesh that I inhabit. We want that kind of injustice, that kind of horror, not to ever happen. And this week in particular, it had me thinking about the role of law relative to grace. What is its purpose? Law and laws exist so that there will be genuine justice between persons, so that the balance of our societies will be maintained. They exist especially to protect people who are weak from the violence of the strong. They exist to protect the vulnerable from the predator. They counterbalance that human desire that we have for power over others and the inevitable gnawing, self-destroying chaos that comes whenever human beings use that power to dominate or harm others. And that's the point of justice. That's its goal. If you look out across the span of human history, we've not really done that good a job as a species at finding justice in the balance of our lives together. And great at violence, but not so good at justice. And that, for me, in my reflections and struggle to find grace this week, was where the Apostle Paul came in. And where it was good that I was reading that old letter he wrote to the community in Rome, which was intended to focus and shape our response to the countless ways the darknesses of the human story can color and shape our own souls. We have spent 2 weeks looking at Romans now, and I think what I must state again about the importance of this letter is how wildly and completely Paul changes gears in it. He goes from talking complex theology to drilling down at the end of the letter and its practical point, drilling us down to the single and most vital thing about our faith. And honestly, this is something that Paul gets accused of missing. I grew up in a very wonderful and very progressive downtown Presbyterian church. It was very peace and justice oriented.
And I remember hearing a lot, you know, the problem with Christianity is that Jesus was awesome. We love Jesus. But Paul came along and messed things up. You know, he layered all of these things on top of the pure truth of Jesus' teaching that, you know, we're stuck with a couple thousand years later. It's Paul who's anti-women. It's Paul who's anti-justice. It's Paul who's anti-freedom. It's Paul who's antithetical to the message of Jesus. And I still hear that every once in a while from people in random places. Like the last time I went to Wolf Trap, and we're sitting out on the lawn waiting for Garrison Keillor to start talking. And there's this dad, and he's sitting with his daughter, who looked like she was 20, and dad is on a spiel. He's talking about church, and he's talking, trying to get his daughter, who's dressed, you know, it's Garrison Keillor, Prairie Home Companion, progressive daughter, sitting there listening to dad tell her about, well, you know, the only reason that anything's wrong with Christianity is because of Paul. And he's talking, and he wasn't really helping her get any closer to coming back to church, to be honest. She's like, oh, please, Dad, stop talking, please. He blamed it on Paul, because Paul didn't get it. Paul misses the point of Jesus, he said, which was odd. Not quite as odd as the pitch I got a couple months ago from a new author who, I get pitched a lot of books because I'm a pastor, and it was this author whose thesis was for this book that was being published, and you know, there are all these important Bible studies and studies I can do with classes at my church who can all buy the book. It was not that Paul was anti-women, anti-justice, anti-freedom, or anti-gay. It was that Paul was the anti-Christ. And I was like, that's kind of a stretch, isn't it? I mean, and I thought, looking at this ad being pitched to me, that this was just one of those weirdos who publish their unpublishable crazy stuff, you know, like Jesus diet books with four words in them, or children's stories about flightless waterfowl, or weird mashups of role-playing games and faith. But no, this guy had an actual publisher. Paul is the Antichrist. Who's publishing this stuff? Because you can't read Paul without seeing that he gets the core of what Jesus taught. Paul hits that point so many times that you can't miss it unless you're intending to miss it. Here in Romans, he says it. What is it that matters? What matters is our willingness to show love and grace to each other. Paul, who's just spent all of these complicated chapters describing the theological and soteriological interplay between law and grace, comes down to it and says, what is the whole of what we're talking about? It's loving your neighbor. That's everything he'd been saying. No other rule, no other measure, no other law is required. He says it once, he says it again, he says it to an audience that would have needed to hear this non-complex message conveyed. Who was he talking to? He was talking to Rome. Rome was a complicated city. Rome was the center of empire. Rome was the kind of place where power and intrigue and a deep and cynical awareness of the mess of the world would have been hard to escape. Rome, with all of its politicking and all of its mess, the Roman Christians, that community that rose up there, would have needed to both hear complexity and then hear it whittled down. You know, really, guys, it is this straightforward. Paul repeats this and repeats this and repeats this as a way of keeping his listeners lost in the mess of Rome, focused. Yes, the world is hard. Yes, it's full of the desire for darkness, of power serving power, of that weaving into us and changing our own desires to darkness. But we can't let that into us. Sure, we see injustice and we hunger for revenge. Sure, we see power and we want power for ourselves. But Paul reminds his listeners there in the heart of power that the purpose of the law, its intent, the intent of justice is not power. The purpose of the law is justice, but it is not the kind of justice you can buy at the business end of a Kalashnikov or on the tip of a joint direct attack munition. And yes, that is a form of power. That is one way that the law can exist. Creates balance by coercing it. And that's the form we're most familiar with. This is the sword in the hand of blindfolded Lady Justice, you know, the hand that's not carrying the scales. Visualize that little statue for a moment. Got it? Got it? Good. When things are out of balance, that's when Lady Justice does some hacking and slashing. And the law's purpose is peace and justice. That's its intent. But Paul calls the Romans and us to see something deeper. That if peace and justice are to reign, then their method, the spirit that guides them, needs to be love and it needs to be mercy. Because justice doesn't exist until it is internalized. Until it is woven up as a part of who we are. And that's hard to hear, because there's a part of us that will always recoil against that message. I do. I feel that in myself when it comes to monstrous and horrible acts. I don't think of the law. I don't think of justice in terms of love. When I look at ISIS, I just feel angry. But anger has never helped. Violence has never helped. I mean, Lord have mercy, we have been hurling bombs and missiles into that region since I was in college, and that was a long time ago. It hasn't made things better. Paul's reminder to all of us is that the foundation of the law is here. The transforming thing that matters is right here in us. That is the thing that needs to be fixed in all of us and then taught to others. If anything, what Paul is teaching mirrors off the message we heard from Ezekiel. Ezekiel, strangest of the major prophets, who, when he conveys a message, says, "What is God's desire for this world, even God's desire for the wicked? It is that they know God's presence, that they turn, and that they live. Not that they be destroyed. Why would God take any joy in that?" Paul's message, playing off of Ezekiel's teaching, is the heart of why we evangelize, why we try to show forth grace so that others will be able to receive it. And that can be immensely hard, especially when we're faced with injustice, especially when we're faced with people whose hearts have become something monstrous. But it's the point of the gospel. It's that essence that Jesus taught. It is the thing that Paul taught too, over and over again. This is the law. This is the point. Hear it and live it. Let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
The world is kind of a messy, frightening place, and it pushes at us, and it can tear at us, and we can feel that things are just such a mess that there's not much point. And it is in those times when the world seems to press in and start to define who we are that messages like Paul's today are so important. They keep us focused and remind us what our bulwark is, what our place of strength is, that transforming, gracious love that was Christ's intent in the world. And we may not always want that. Our desire may not be that. Our desire may be anger. Our desire may be revenge. But what God is trying to get us to realize in Jesus, in this meal, in the teachings of Paul, in the witness of thousands of years of the church, is that grace is our purpose. That love, as we feel it and as we live it out, is the entire reason we are here. So as you step out into the world with its anxieties and its angers, remember that. Remember that no matter what you deal with, there is that one law above them all. The law of Christ's love, which is to guide all of us in everything we do. Carry that with you as your strength and your fortress in all times of trial. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, may they abide with us today and tomorrow and our whole lives long. Amen.